Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
It's so much more than just a profile picture. At Catholic Singles, our platform offers you many opportunities to get to know the person behind the picture. Sign up today at CatholicSingles.com.
Thank you so much for downloading our podcast. The name of the show is Manage Your Money God's Way, presented by Compass Catholic Ministries, where we teach, using biblical principles, the best ways to handle money. Now, the name of the study is called Faith and Money Matters, and you can learn more at CompassCatholic.org. The goal is to get you totally debt-free. My name is Steve Holbrook, and joining me today are the co-founders of Compass Catholic Ministries, John and Evelyn Bean. Well, today, Evelyn, I would like to say that Thanksgiving Day is one of the few times of the year, or probably the only time of the year, when our culture encourages us to give thanks.
And even that attempt gets ruined by the focus on getting out and going shopping on Thanksgiving evening, even before the turkey leftovers are cold in the refrigerator.
I don't think you have to wait until after Thanksgiving dinner. You can go after breakfast.
Thanksgiving breakfast?
Yes.
How about Thanksgiving Eve, after everything's ready to eat?
You could probably start then, too. In fact, you could probably go right now.
You could probably go on Monday, yeah.
You know, a large part of giving thanks is learning to recognize all the blessings that God has showered upon us and learning to be content.
Now, there's something that's in short supply in our country, huh?
Yeah, contentment is really in short supply. And in our culture, because the advertising industry tries to create discontent in our lives. You know, that reliable, serviceable car isn't good enough. It's got to be a new car.
And a phone that does everything you need it to do isn't good enough unless it's the latest, greatest technology gizzard, right?
So we live in a consumer society that operates on assumptions that, well, we need to keep acquiring everything we see. It influences to think that happiness is based on acquiring more stuff. Our culture always encourages us to think that bigger and more expensive is always better.
You know, and that mindset we hear from our friends or see from our family or our neighbors really influences us to be discontent. And if we're discontent with what we already own, that leads us to use debt to buy things we really don't need and things that are never really going to satisfy us. So anything that you buy in an effort to make yourself happy will not make you happy for more than a few days.
Have you ever felt like if you just only had a little bit more money, then you'd finally be satisfied and happy and content? I can remember when we were working in the early days and we'd get a raise, $50. This is going to do it. You know, $50 is going to make it happen. And that lasted till the end of the week.
Yeah.
Until it didn't happen.
You know, a good way to think about it is if you're not content with where God has you today, you're never going to be content when you get that nicer house or that newer car or the newer iPhone or cell phone or more money. But guess what?
What?
Most people aren't happy.
That's true. People who are really wealthy, the ones that make 10 or 20 times what you make and have everything you want, they're not happy either. Because they are also influenced to follow the cultural I mindset or me mindset. Same thing. We want to acquire more and more and more. And how much stuff you have is no indicator as to whether or not you can be happy or content.
A person can be dirt poor and be happy and content, while somebody with all the money in the world and all the stuff in the world can be unhappy and discontent. And I think sometimes we get so caught up in what we want and what we don't have that we can't take time to stop and appreciate what we do have.
How many times do we feel like we have enough?
From what I've seen of our culture, nobody ever has enough, right? That's what they're influencing us to think.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And we need to understand this. You know, I'm not saying that we shouldn't try to improve ourselves. We should. As stewards of God's gifts and talents, we've been given many, many things. We've been blessed with many, many things. But we should always seek to improve everything about our lives. But in the meantime, part of being a steward is learning to be grateful for what the Lord has already provided.
You know, I found a great quote in the book of Tobit. It's chapter 5, verse 19, and it says, "What the Lord has given us to live on is certainly enough for us." But when do we really feel like we have enough, right?
Here's the secret for contentment, Evelyn. It's realizing that the Lord has given us exactly what He knows is best for us at that moment. That's a key thing. At that moment. Contentment is not an instinct that we're born with. We have to learn it. Contentment is all about having an inner peace that accepts what God has chosen for our present vocation and even our financial situation.
You know, it's taking time to be grateful for everything that we have and appreciating all the blessings in our life without striving for some magic thing in the future that when we're finally going to be happy. Like you said, when we were first starting out, we kept thinking if only we had this much more money every month, and that money came in and we still weren't happy. There was always something else that we needed. And a lot of people live their lives like that. You know, we'll be happy when we get married. We'll be happy when we have the first child. We'll be happy when the first child starts school. We'll be happy when the kids move out. We'll be happy when we retire.
Well, that was a happy day.
We'll be happy when we retire. You know, there's always this time in the future when happiness will arrive. But if you don't appreciate where you are right now, you're missing a lot of opportunities to be happy now.
Like we've said, you have to be able to learn contentment. And, you know, Evelyn, for me, learning that contentment didn't happen. In fact, I don't think, you know, I'd heard the word contentment, but I didn't really hear it and absorb it or apply it within until I heard the verse from the fourth chapter of Philippians, verses 11 through 13, where Paul's talking and he says, "I had to learn to be content." And when I heard that, and that was a verse that just really stuck with me, and that made a huge difference. So I think people have to, in order to learn something like that, you got to focus on something. And boy, I'll tell you what, that's a great verse to focus on.
Well, and I think that it helps if you pray for the Lord to help make you content. And starting with an attitude of being grateful and thankful for what you do have. Owen Phelps, who is the director of the Yeshua Catholic International Leadership Institutes, suggests that one of the ways to be more grateful is to start a gratitude journal. And that's taking time each week to write down the things for which you're grateful so that you can focus on that small stuff that often escapes notice, but which is so important. It's all those little things that happen every day, the hug from your child or having somebody let you in front of them at the grocery store. They're just those little tiny things that help you build a mindset of contentment.
Being consciously grateful helps you to discover what you take for granted, like your job or your family or your freedom, the birds that are flying around. How many times do you see a cardinal when you're out or a bluebird when you're out? And, you know, we have the ability not only to see cardinals and bluebirds, but also these beautiful hawks and eagles. Do we feel thankful? Do we feel blessed? Do we feel grateful when we see them? You know, what about the very air that we breathe? How grateful are we really?
And the list we can take for granted or the list we can be thankful for can just go on and on and on. And each of those small things, no matter how important or how mundane, is a gift from God. And that's where we need to start with our thankfulness.
Another way to bring gratitude into your everyday life is to have each person at the dinner table announce three things that happened that day for which they're grateful. And, you know, our son and grandsons and daughter-in-law do this at their dinner time, and it can be very amusing, but it can also be very thought-provoking because the kids come up with some things that are just off the chart.
You know, in a family with young kids, that kind of a sharing can range from something amusing like, "Boy, am I grateful I didn't have to sit next to any girls on the bus," to something profound like, I'm really happy that I got to see grandma today because she's getting old. Now, they're not talking about me. They're talking about great-grandma.
Okay, then.
But, you know, whether or not there are kids in the family, the gratefulness discussion at mealtimes provides fodder for deeper discussions and keeps gratitude at the forefront. And that's where we're missing a lot here, is just not being grateful for what God's given us.
You know, another thing that you can do is to end your day in prayer of thanksgiving. You know, at the end of each day, spend a few minutes of silence to just kind of reflect on the day, say a prayer of thanksgiving about the things you experienced while you were awake during the day, maybe 3 to 5 things that you're grateful for. Once you become naturally more grateful, you'll start feeling happier each day. And it only takes about 30 days to develop a habit. So try the thankfulness prayer at the end of each day for a month and see what happens. See if you can't develop that attitude of gratitude.
Another thing we don't often consider is learning to appreciate everything, because gratitude doesn't have to be saved for those big things in life. The habit of being grateful starts with appreciating everything and recognizing that there's nothing too small for you to be thankful for. Even if it's something as simple as what you said before, John, appreciating the birds or the rain or the sunshine, if you're practicing gratitude and learning how to be grateful, consider everything in your life.
Yeah, it's so true, Evelyn. Be grateful for everything that God has provided for you. You know, a good practice to begin today would be at the end of each day to include one thing that happened today in your life that you are grateful for. It can be as simple as a parking spot close to the store, especially on a rainy day, or grateful that God has blessed you with a talent that allows you to earn a living so you can provide for your family. This is Manage Your Money God's Way. We are from Compass Catholic Ministries, and we want you to live debt-free, and we can help, no matter if your debt is large or small. Check out CompassCatholic.org. Today, we're discussing the practice of contentment and also giving thanks. And Evelyn, here we are a week from Thanksgiving. What are some of the other experiences would you suggest that we would be thankful for?
You know, one of the things that I don't think people appreciate enough are the challenges that we hear about, that we experience in our lives. When we think about being grateful, we often think about the positive experiences, but a lot of times the experiences that impact us the most and have a way of moving our life forward are the challenging circumstances. Those challenging circumstances give us ways to grow and change that could not have happened any other way. And I'm specifically thinking here, John, about when we were in all of our financial trouble.
That's what I was thinking about.
You know, it wasn't a happy place to be. We were not on the same page financially.
We weren't on the same page in a lot of things.
Sometimes I think we're still not. Number one, we weren't managing our money well at all. We weren't managing our money at all. We really weren't keeping track of what we were spending. We were
managing to spend it.
We were spending it really quickly, yeah. We were using credit cards to run up debt. We really weren't paying too much attention to anything other than keeping up with the neighbors. We weren't giving hardly anything at all. I think our giving was a token that we felt comfortable with, but it certainly wasn't generous based on financially where we were at that time. But looking back at that, that was one of the big milestones in our life that led us into ministry and a way to serve people and help others and get our life straightened out. I'm very grateful for that, even though it was an ugly experience and I wouldn't want to repeat it.
You know, Evelyn, I hear this so often. People talk about, oh, I've got problems. But then I hear on the other side, they call the problems challenges, because in your case, in John's case, look at the opportunities this presented to you.
Oh, it was great opportunities. We've been so blessed with where we are now compared to where we were then. And if we hadn't gone through those challenging circumstances and hadn't had the problems that we had back then, I don't think we would have changed our lives. I think we would have just kept going down the American path of debt is good. We need to buy everything we see, and hee-haw, that's the way you live here.
Yeah, I just wish people had that attitude of not looking at individual, whether it's an illness or a financial crisis, as a problem, but what's the opportunity beyond that?
What can I learn from this? Mm-hmm. What can I experience? What can, after the challenging circumstance, what can I do with what I learned to help others? Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's a blessing for us, is that we can share all the financial mistakes we made with others, because we made them all.
Well, and I think when you look backwards at those things, and you can't look backwards when you're in the middle of it.
Yeah.
You know, all you see is a big black wall. But we've both taken time to look backwards over the past 5 or 10 years at what happened 20 years ago and 15 years ago and 10 years ago. And, you know, I don't really know where we'd be today if it hadn't been for those challenges. And so that's kind of scary, actually, because, you know, we were heading down the road, but we didn't have a plan.
We were on the wrong road. We took the wrong turn at the Y.
Yeah, we have been very blessed. And to be able to look back on that and think about it and how things might have been, it causes you to be very grateful. And I would recommend that anybody, they would think back to the various points of turmoil in their life and what happened before that point happened and what happened after that point. And I think for most people, if you really kind of just let go of the current world and let God control, you can see where God was active and he was doing things.
Yeah, John, I go back to, what was it, 07 or 08, where we had the financial collapse.
Yes.
And people have been really good from that point on and really taking care of the money, not going crazy and into debt. But then over time, you kind of forget about that. And all of a sudden, you start using your credit card a few extra times here and there. And the next thing you know, you're starting to dig yourself into the same hole that you found yourself 10 years, 11 years ago.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's that awareness. You just have to constantly remind yourself, I didn't like it back in 07, 08 when I was big into debt and struggling.
You know, and I think everyone gets to a turning point. I mean, if you're going down a path that's not making you happy or not fulfilling in your life, you have to get to a turning point that's going to point you in a different direction. And that's different for a lot of people. You know, for us, it was the combination of the Bible study and a retreat. For other people, it may be hitting rock bottom. For other people, it may be meeting a certain person that changes their life and sets it off in a new direction.
You know, I think that one of the key points, and you bring up 2007 and 2008, 2009, and somebody I was with, I don't know, sometime in the last couple of weeks was talking about that and mentioned that and how, what a rough time it was. 2007, July the 1st, that's when I retired. You know, if you talk to a financial advisor,
yeah,
when is the worst time to retire? And when was the worst time in the last 30 years? It was probably July the 1st of 2007.
Yeah.
But the key thing is that we had been practicing what we're teaching for 20 years by that time. And to be honest, and I know somebody's going to say, well, you're just bragging. Not really. You know, that decline had no effect on us whatsoever. We had a plan. We were not spending more than we were making. In fact, we were spending quite a bit less. And we didn't really have any debt. We still had a mortgage then, but that was it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's why what we're teaching is so important, because it allows you, if you really practice what you learn, it allows you to survive through those kinds of things with a plan and not get swallowed up in the worldly
turmoil.
Yeah.
I really think one of the principles that we do teach in our study, Faith and Money Matters, is contentment. It's very easy mentally to say, oh, that I can practice contentment, but putting into practice is very challenging. And you have to start somewhere. And today would be a great day to start. And a great item to start with is your smartphone. Do you have to have the latest smartphone as soon as it comes out?
Well, that's the same thing with anything you have. I'm happy with my car. It gets me where I'm going. It's
good
safe,
point.
Reliable transportation. It's not new. It doesn't have that new car smell, but I'm happy with my car. I'm happy with my house. It's warm. It's dry. It keeps me housed. I don't need a new house that's bigger with more stuff to take care of.
And the true test is about, as this time of the year, the TV will be loaded with car commercials.
Already seen the first Christmas car commercial.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So get ready.
Those Christmas car commercials drive me nuts.
Just think, you do not want another big car payment. Keep telling yourself that.
Well, what I can't imagine, I mean, besides the whole overspending on Christmas thing, I can't imagine any married couple having one person getting them into that much debt without the spouse knowing about it. that's just a recipe for disaster.
And that's Merry Christmas. Here's a $40,000 debt with a red ribbon on top.
That's basically what it is, isn't it?
And here's the payment books.
Yeah. You're in charge of the money. See you later. But Steve, you bring up a good point, because a lot of learning to be content is who you hang around with. I mean, it's like-minded people that help you stay on that course of being content and not wanting more and more all the time.
And I think that's so important. In fact, we were talking about it in our class that we had last night. There, in the new Faith and Money Matters, there's a section where we talk about who is your community. You know, who are the people that you can go to 24/7 and with a problem,
or a question, or advice, or solace,
any kind of prayers. Who are those people? And you know, we've been so fortunate to be able to teach so many people who have adopted 100% what we teach and have become such close friends. Everybody's on the same page. They know where you're coming from. And you know, we're very fortunate. We probably have 6 or 8 or 10 couples that we could go to 24/7, no matter what the issue, and they'd be there. And I think that's just so important. So if you're hanging around people who think the same as you do, it's really so much easier to do the right things.
And if you're not hanging around with those people, you need to find them.
Yes.
You know, if you're hanging around with people that are encouraging you to overspend, to get into debt, they want you to co-sign for them, they encourage you to buy more than you can afford, find new friends. They're not doing you any good.
And while you're looking for those new friends, remember that we are showered with blessings from God each and every minute of the day, of the night. And it's right to acknowledge those blessings. As this year ends and the next year begins, concentrate on the ways to be thankful every single day instead of waiting for just Thanksgiving to jog your mind about being grateful. Remember the verse from 2 Corinthians 9:15, which says, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift."
John and Evelyn, thank you so much. Now, if you would like to share this program with a family member or friend, or like to listen to it again, it's available on demand. Simply go to compasscatholic.org, scroll down, click on podcast, and look for the title Contentment and Give Thanks. And before we leave you today, let's get to some of the emails that we received this week. Okay, John and Evelyn, here's our first email for today. My husband handles all the finances in the house. However, given that he's had a gambling problem in the recent past, I feel it would be better if I handled it. I don't think he'll like that, but I'm wondering how the best way to address this. Do you have any advice?
Well, it sounds like this situation comes with a lot of pain from past experience, so I think the first thing you need to do is pray that you approach it from the right direction and that your husband's heart is prepared to hear what you have to say. And the second thing is, I think you need to approach it from a where you are now standpoint and not dredge up all of the past gambling problems and use that as an excuse. I think you need to have an open, honest discussion about how far you've come as a couple and where you are today instead of using the past to beat him up.
Yeah, and maybe you could suggest that you have a weekly money date. During that time, you talk about the income that you received for that week, what the expenses have been. You know, just talk about everything in an objective, from an objective point of view. You don't want to be nagging or critical or accusatory, but just stick to the facts. Stick to the facts. But I think it's an opportunity for both of you to be aware of what's going on and to support each other and to really strengthen your marriage.
Well, and I think in addition to praying before you talk to your husband, each of your money dates should start with prayer.
Yes.
Definitely.
Yep. Very good.
Okay, John and Evelyn, this is question number 2. Does the Bible say anything about when, at what age, a person should retire? Excellent question.
Well, the only reference in the Bible is in the book of Numbers, and it's talking about the Levites who worked in the tabernacle were supposed to retire at the age of 50. But in the rest of the Bible, there's really not one single reference to retiring.
So that means as we get older, we're not supposed to quit working. We're just supposed to change our focus of work and maybe move into some different type of work, like full-time volunteer efforts or helping out our families or something, so that we're still making good use of our time and talents.
Yeah, there was a popular book that was written, and I can't remember the author now, but it was entitled Don't Retire, Rewire. And I think that pretty well explains what you should be doing. As much as many of us would like to go sit at the city gates, you know, and with the elders and pontificate, I think if you work for the Lord, you would serve God much better.
Okay, we have time for one more. John and Evelyn, I am 26. My job offers a 401k and matches every 50 cents. How much should I contribute each paycheck? My husband also works for the same company, so how much should he contribute?
If you're 26 and you're starting to save for your retirement now, that's a fabulous position to be in because you've got a lot of time to let that money grow for you. So you should take advantage of every penny that your employer is going to match.
Yeah, I would probably try to be consistent in saving at least 10% of your income, so that means you're going to get another 5%, so the total that you would be saving is 15%. It's a really unusual situation where an employer will match 50% with no cap on it. That's an unbelievable situation, and I would take advantage of that as much as I could while at the same time maintaining a good budget and making sure that you're not shorting yourself in other areas of your budget categories.
If you have a question for John and Evelyn, by all means, email it to ask@compasscatholic.org. For John and Evelyn Bean, we want to thank you so much for downloading and listening to our podcast. We do appreciate it. And if you have any feedback at all, email us at info@compasscatholic.org. The feedback email address is info@compasscatholic.org. Or if you have any topics that you'd be interested in, share those with us as well. And remember, we have a brand new podcast for you each and every Wednesday morning. Simply go to compasscatholic.org, scroll down on the homepage, and click on the word podcast. It's that simple. This is Manage Your Money God's Way. We're from Compass Catholic Ministries.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.